Today's daf is daf Nun Dalet, and we'll take it from the bottom of Nun Gimel Amud Beis, where it says the Tanya, they're about to bring a proof of Brice right now to teach us that that Avram and Achai that has not roy that has Einal Abasa Karoy is Matami B'maga. That again, a limb that doesn't have enough flesh is still Matami B'maga. So the Gemara says the Tanya, V'chol Asher Yigal Pnei Asada. The pasuk says B'chol Acharev B'meis. So that's the pasuk. So the Gemara says the pasuk in Chukas, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So zeh sada refers to if someone is in the same ohel as a mace, he's there, and the mace is there, and they're in the ohel. So a person's tamei midin ohel. Bechalal zeh aver minachai v'yesh lo lahalos arucha. Bechalal comes to include if there's a limb, if there's an aver minachai, a body part of a live person which became detached. So that has a v'yeshlo halalos arucha. What does that mean? It has the ability to regenerate itself, to regrow. The skin could regrow. It has that. It won't because it's detached, but it has enough skin that if it were attached, it could regrow. And cherev hareze kichalal. That's where it says that the sword is like touching the corpse itself. So that tells us that klal of a cherev has that ability. Person's touching the metal, is touching the mace, then touching that metal is as if you're touching the actual mace. Oh, b'mace, the Gemara says, zeh eivra ha-nechla min ha-mace. That's a limb that became detached from a mace. That too is going to be metame b'maga o b'ma'o'el. And the words, o be'etzem adam, comes to include rova tzamos. If there's a rova tzamos, which was the rova kav, a quarter of a kav, a tzamos is metami b'maga b'amahel also. O b'kever, that part that comes to include zek kever sasum, that refers to a kever that's completely enclosed from all sides, that also has the ability of to create an ohel. How do we know this? Damar mar, the state that we learn, top of nundala now, manalaf, damar mar, tuma bokas v'ola, bokas v'yoredes. That, see the Mefarish on the top here, on the top of Nundal Manal says, Damar Mar Tuma Bokas, it goes up, Bokas, it means it cracks open, it cracks and goes through, says the Mefarish, Vinasa Kever Kagufo Shemes Asma. Now this Kever, which is completely enclosing the mace, becomes like the actual mace, V'hamalach Allah, one who walks over this Kever that's completely sealed, Ava Pish Ein Nogea, even though you don't touch it, Elamal, but you go in the same vicinity of it under the vertical line above it,
which imala. You can't go into a cemetery.
Exactly, right. A person who's coming cannot go into the cemetery because it's enclosed and then it just shoots up to Shemai. So that's what we learn from this brisa. Vilu gavi negia, however, with respect to negia touching the tuma, the mace, Amr Yehuda, Tani quotes a brisa that hanogea be'etzem o b'cholol. You touch a bone or a corpse, be'etzem ze'etzem kesora. You touch a bone that's at least the size of a kesora, if not bigger. That's metame b'maga. O b'chalal zeh aver ha-nechla min-achai v'ein b'lalos arucha. If you touch a aver, that limb that fell off, and does not have the ability, does not have enough flesh to regenerate itself, it's included. And o b'meis zeh aver ha-nechla min-ameis. So you touch an aver that was detached from a dead body. O b'kever, or a person touches a kever. So it comes to maga, so oba kever rather, amarish lakish zek kever shilafneha divur. This refers to the kever that was prior to Matan Torah. So somebody who lived at that time touched a kever before they're given the Torah, and now the Torah was given, they have a status of tumas meis. Okay, whatever, that's what we learn from the Joshua. But for our purposes, so the Gemara wants to know, hi aver min a meis hechidami. So, maybe we could stop there for a second. Oh no, Gemara wants it. So again, we're bringing this brisa to try to prove to us again. The goal of this Gemara is to prove to us that an aver that does not have basar, haroi lehalos, that does not have the ability to regenerate itself, how do we know that if a person touches it, it's tameh? So the Gemara is analyzing further. When the brisa listed heichidami, what's the case of high aver minimase? When the limb of a dead body had been detached, and we said a person's tameh if he touches it, heichidami, what's that case, asks the Gemara? Ida is bay etzem kasora. If it has, it's a bone, it's the size of a saora or bigger. I know how to get etzem. We don't need a second case. Ella must be the less lay etzem kasora. Must be a tiny bone, less than a barley kernel. Va filo halchi rachman rabba. And yet still the Torah includes that if a person touches such a small piece of bone, it's going to be tame.
Well, the fact that there has to be flesh attached to it, though. There has to be flesh less than a kazayas.
Well, I think we're saying even the point is, even though there is no basar, it's so small, even though there's no basar,
But the word aver mean?
A limb.
Abram, right. So we're not, so you can't say, you could use the limb the same way. You can't say that there's so much flesh on it, because there's more like an Isaiah's of flesh, you wouldn't need a reboot for that either.
Mm-hmm.
Same way you have the limb for the bone, you could have the limb for the flesh.
So what are we saying?
Isn't there another limb? Maybe I'm wrong. There is a limb for flesh, right? I mean, there is a pasuk for flesh, right?
No, I don't think we saw it yet. Hold on one second. Let me look at this one second.
Just a kazayas of flesh, no? Didn't we say that?
We saw it has to have a. We saw it somewhere about having a kazayas of flesh. We saw it earlier.
Right?
I remember this.
That, right?
No, you're not. This tumah stuff is very confusing.
So if you have a kazayas of flesh, my question is, if you get, I hear the limud, right? What are we learning out from Abram and Amais,
mm-hmm.
right? That it's just a small bone, because
right.
it can't be a bone, because we have a bone
right.
limud. So we also have a flesh limud. So does it have to be both together?
So I think we're trying to prove here for Reish Lakish that when it comes to Avram and Amais, even though there's not enough basar, it's still metame b'magis. So this case is where it's a tiny bone, and there's also very little flesh where it's not a kazayas.
So it's mitzarev together to get to the shit?
I'm not sure mitzarev. This is just the din. According to Reish Lakish, the din is mitzarev kasev, that it's metame person b'maga.
And either one wouldn't work. You need both.
I mean, just a dry bone l'chora wouldn't work, exactly.
Less than
exactly.
A sorrow.
Right, because add some kasora, because less than that
is no
it has right. to be less than a sorrow with a little bit of a flesh. That combination, even though they're both individually smaller than the shear, but the combination of both small shearum will amount to a tumas maga. Right.
Okay.
So that's all Reish Lakish limud. Again, it's a bit trickier. So Amar Lachar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says back to Reish Lakish, Li'olam disbei. No, really, that brisa really has enough. Really has an etzem kesora. V'im eino nini lemaga tenei nini lemasa. So no, really, that when we say when it comes to Aver min ames, it's etzem kesora. Then we already learn etzem kesoras matame. And they're telling us the second din. First, Drush taught us that etzem kesora is matame bimaga. This is telling us it's also matame bimasa. If a person were to lift it up in a way that he doesn't touch it, he puts it in a basket and lifts it up, a tumas masa will matame him as well. That's what we learned. So, but they're all both talking about etzem kesora. The Rabbi Yochanan says if it's less than etzem kesora, even if there's basar, that's not going to be metame person. You either need a shear of etzem or you need a shear of a basar. A little of each is not going to help with anything. Okay, the Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah. Umaze b'shlishi b'shvi v'soser. So this is going back on the Mishnah to see what the line of the Mishnah was. That if a nazir becomes tame in any one of the examples that makes him tame, he has to sprinkle on day 3 and day 7 after his tumah. So let's say he's tame on Shabbos. Make it easier. The Shabbos he's tame. So that means on Tuesday and on Shabbos. Shabbos can't really do it, but let's say he's tame on Sunday. So then on Wednesday and Sunday, he would be get sprinkled from the
chazah. Day 7 would be Shabbos on Sunday.
It depends when you count it. Is day 1 you become tamei? Is that considered day 1 or is it the first day you're tahor?
Right,
I'm not sure, I guess. So how are we doing the counting? You do day 3 and day 7.
Right. Day 8 is...
Right. So
I don't know.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you would do it then. So the guy is tamei on Shabbos, so then you do it on Tuesday and Friday then.
You do it earlier.
Right, Tuesday and Friday. Do day 3 would be Tuesday. Shabbos is day 1. No, Monday. Shabbos is day
Sunday.
1, Sunday, Monday. You do Monday would be day 3. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you'd be... And Friday. So you do Monday and Friday. So you sprinkle on day 3 and day 7, and then it ruins his count, and he has to start all over again. So then the Gemara says, Ibailu, asks the Gemara, how de katani ad shi taher b'shvi kai? So when it says, until he can't start counting, until he becomes tahor, then when he becomes tahor, he starts his nazir's count again, starting from day 1. So when it says, ad shi taher b'shvi, ad shi taher rather, until he becomes tahor, does that mean b'shvi kai? Ad de ovid her shemesh? Does it refer to day seven, he can't wait until the Shkia hits, in which case it's really going to be until it could be day eight, I think. Umani Rabbi Eliezer here, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Which Shkia of Leil Shvi?
Rashi says,
but Erev Shemesh B'Shvi. Okay, fine. So, fine. So, Leil Shvi. So, I guess Shkia of Shvi, so day seven, which is his final day, that's when you start counting? Oh, Dilma B'Shmini, the day eight, Kai, Umay Ad Shi Taher, Ad Shi Avi Karbonosav.
Don't you have this Shiloh by Nida all the time? I mean, with the counter?
The counting? No, this is...
So, it's 7 days. So, the seventh day... Are we talking about it has to be on the seventh day, and if you can't do it on the seventh day, you lose it.
Well, for the sprinkling of the blood.
Yeah, you can't do it on day eight; it won't work.
I don't remember. I don't know the halachas. I don't remember.
Is it a minimum of 7 days? That's what I'm trying. I don't understand what we're trying.
Let's assume
to be makbid on the seventh day.
Yeah, no.
You can't do it on the seventh day.
I think it has to be day three, say day seven. I don't know what happens if a person misses; you have to start all over again. I don't know the halachas of it when it comes to tuma. I'm not sure. Let's assume for now, just day three.
But let's say it's Shabbos. You can't do it.
Right, you can't do it on Shabbos.
So what does that mean? You're always...
You might have to time it right. You have to maybe delay the count. Day three should be pushed off another day, so three and seven line up with each other. No, I'm saying a person can be tummy as long as he wants.
One of the days is not absolute.
No, I'm saying if a person's tummy, you have to just wait to do it at the time until day three and day seven both fall out during the week.
Certain days you can't check. Today I can't check because day seven is... You're not allowed to check on.
Wait, Tom, neither are you talking about Tom?
No, on this. You can't start counting.
Correct.
I think.
I don't know for sure, though.
You can't start counting on a Sunday.
On a Sunday, exactly. Right. I think so. So, do we say, when do you start counting over? Do you start counting over again on day seven, his final day of becoming Tahor? Or do I wait till day eight? Because what is Achi Tahor? Again, oh, Dilma Bishmini Kai on day eight is when he starts counting. Umay ad shitar. What does it mean? Ad shitar. Ad shiyavi karbonosav. Until he was matar, he brings all his karbonos. That's what it means. Umani rabbani, and that's according to rabbanon. That has to wait until karbonos. So who is the author of Mishnah? Is it Rabbi Eliezer? You start counting from day seven, or is it rabbanon? You start counting from day eight. So Toshma, the Gemara brings a raya. Mita katani sefer. From the fact that the sefer teaches us maschil mona miad, he says you start counting right away. The Mishnah says, right after you do the count, it says again that lashon seifa maschimon miad haresha, that the resha must be talking about you don't count right away. Rather, resha must be talking about case my ad shi tire ad shi avi karbonos of umani rabbanani. That the resha must be talking about you don't count right away. You have to wait a little bit. You have to wait another day, and that's the fila rabbanon the amri niziros de tara ad shemini lochayla. The Nazir's of Tara, the new Nazir's that he's taking upon himself now, he ruined his first Nazir's because he became Tamei. So his second round of the Nazir's of Tara has to wait until the eighth day. It's not Chal until the eighth day. And that's the Dik the Gemara says, and therefore the Reish of the Mishnah must be authored by Rabbanon. It's not a it's Machlokes. It's just they're arguing this Gemara who authored the Mishnah. That's the only discussion here. Okay, let's keep going. More Tuma stuff we have here. Gemara says, Aval haschachos, hapros, ubeis pras, verta amim. We'll go through each of them. Va'golel, va'dofeg, va'rvias adam, va'rova atamos, v'kelim hanogim b'meis, v'meis sifro, v'gemaro, al elu, ein hanazir, migalech. So those are all examples, and we'll just go through the detail in a second, that a nazir is not metame. It does not cause him to become tame. So what are each of them? So we already discussed the first case of aval haschachos. Schachos is where a tree is creating a schach. It's over, it's hanging over some land, and there's a tumah underneath them, and the person doesn't know if he went underneath it or not. The case of pros was the same idea with a stone protruding from the wall, and we weren't sure which one he went underneath. That's a safek tameh. That's not. It doesn't have to be megalech. Beis pras is an area where we lost a kever and it was plowed over, and they're not really sure if there's enough of an etzim around. It's a safek, he's not megalech. Eret Amim is a special din that the Chachamim were metame, the Eret Amim, the land outside Eretz Yisrael, and that's also a safek tuma, and Nazir doesn't megalech. Hagolel v'adofek is a machlokes Rashi Tosfos throughout Shas, what these things are, but Golel v'adofek, which approach do they take? It refers to the tombstone, the golo? Is that how they say it in English? Yeah, the motzeva on top of the tombstone. And the dofek is referring to the stones that are holding the tombstone up. So those things also are not mitame the nazir. And then the revias adam, the ohel. So revias adam is less than the amount. And an ohel of rova hatzamos, that's the vav shouldn't be there, it should be ohel rova hatzamos. If there's only a quarter of a kav, which is less than what's required, that would not be mitame a nazir. The kalim hanogim b'meis, if there are kalim, clothing, or some other utensils that are touching the mace, that will not in turn, if the nazir is touching the kli, which is touching the mace, that will not metame the nazir. U'b'mei sifro, u'b'mei gamro, if he's a mitzora, and he's in the days of counting part of his mitzora process of becoming tahor, or waiting till the kohen comes back, that too will not, has that a connect here? Gemara is going to explain this, but if he's a nazir while being mitzora, and while he's being mitzora, he becomes being a mitzora will not cause, even though he's tamei, will not cause the nazir to shave his hair. Fine. So Gemara is going to discuss all these cases. So Gemara said, and the Mishnah continues now, the last line of Amud Aleph here. Umaze b'shlishu v'shvi. So one has to sprinkle on day 3 and day 7, even though he doesn't have to shave his hair on these cases we just mentioned. He does require to become tahor because they are tamei, but not enough to force him to shave his hair. And also, the Enos Oses HaKodman, says the Mishnah, going on to Amud Beis now, so to those examples listed, although they make him tamei and he requires tara, it doesn't cause him to shave his hair, and it doesn't either cause him to ruin his count. He could still continue to count. And right away he continues, he picks up where he left off. If he was at day 15 and became tamei, one of those examples, he pauses for 7 days and becomes tahor. And then right away on day 7, that's what he said, that was a deek before, on day 7, he starts counting day 16, day 17, day 18. For carbon ain lo, also there's no carbon that's being brought here because he wasn't really nazir b'tuma. So be'emes amru, in reality, when it's a be'emes amru, means the halacha, it's halacha mosh b'sinai, the halacha is that yimei hazav hazava v'yimei haskeru shemetzora harei elu olono. That if a man or woman who's a nazir or nazira, and during the naziros becomes a zav or a zava or mitzora, any of these days they count towards the naziros. That not only do they not ruin the account, the previous case where they became tamei and that safek tamei, it's on hold. They wait 7 days.
Different kinds of tum.
Exactly.
And they don't mix.
Exactly. So the highest level, tumas meis, the highest level, ruined everything. The safek tum area just delays the count at 15 until it becomes tar 7 days later, and then you pick up 16. This last category of zav, exactly. You count right through. Being a zav, and mitzvah, you count right through 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So those are the three categories we have of tuma when it comes to the zeros. Okay, the Gemara now says, the Elohein HaSchachos. So what's the example? The Mishnah said the Schachos was this category of tuma that causes the Nazir to become Tahor, sprinkling Mechata, the Mei Paraduma, day 3 and day 7, but doesn't affect anything else. Doesn't make him shave, doesn't lose his count. He just has to delay the counting for another 7 days. So what are they? Ilan HaMesach Al Aretz U'Paros Yiyotis Min HaGeder. Ilan, a tree that's hanging over over the land, and a stone that's protruding from the wall, and there's tuma underneath one of them, but you weren't sure which one he went underneath, whether that branch or that branch, that's suffix tuma, and that's the example of where the guy has to be metaher, but he doesn't ruin his camp. Verta'amim. Verta'amim was the land outside Chutzlaretz. Ibailu. Gemara asks, Verta'amim mishum avira gazrola, o dima mishum gusha gazrola. So when the Chachamim made this gezeira, the Eretz Amim or Tamei, so what exactly was the nature, what was the parameters of this gezeira? Was it that the Avir, even the airspace, the atmosphere of the Eretz Amim of Chutz La'aretz is going to be Tamei? Or Dafka Mishim Gusha, the dirt, a mound of dirt, there was a concern that maybe there's a bone, that you may have touched a bone in the dirt. That's the Shaila. And Nafka Mina would be, the Gemara brings elsewhere, the person, let's say, was carried in a box. He wasn't walking. He was in a box or wagon where he didn't touch the ground. So if it's midin avir, he'd become tamei. If it's midin gusha, touching the ground, he would be tahor still, because he didn't touch the ground, he was protected in a box. I think that's what the Gemara says in a few places. Yeah, that's what it points out here also. They say this. Okay. Right, see, Tosos says that? See, Tosos writes, Eretz Amim al Avir Gazru. Tosos writes, Kigon Mahalich Besay the Table of Migdal. If the guy was in a box and protected, Gedolos Yoser Mimemsa, Shem Makablim Tuma, or Al Gesher Eretz Amim, or he's walking on a bridge, Chutzlaritz, or Nichnas Bekarno Besfino, he's a boat or in a wagon, Shechmiru Ba Yoser Mibael, Hames Kadeshal Yatzalim Eretz Lechutzlaritz. Maybe they were machim even in the Avir. The guy's on a bridge. He's not touching any dirt. He's in a wagon. He's not touching any dirt. Maybe they're so machmir, even the airspace is tamei. And the impetus for making such a gezeira, says Tosos, is we didn't want people to leave Eretz Yisrael. If you walk out of Eretz Yisrael, I don't care how you're walking outside, I don't care if you're flying, you're going to become tamei. Was that the gezeira? Or Dilma, it was only in the case of, look at the next Tosos, oh, Dilma mishum gusha, because of the dirt. Very appropriate for this week's parsha, actually. Look at this. Dafka hamayil al gusha. Only if a person was in an ohel, in the same tent as a dirt gazu, kimishim al mace, as if a person's in a ohel of a mace, mipnei mesei mabul. This week's parsha. Because mesei mabul, millions of people died throughout the world, and we don't know where they were, where they ended up. And there could be bones anywhere. It didn't end up in Eretz Yisrael, but it could have been anywhere else in the world. So there's always a chashash. And because of that, only if you're touching the dirt, or if you're in an ohel of the dirt, is there a concern? Or perhaps, he says, another suggestion is, Om ipnei rov miyisrael shenarug b'chutzlart, because so many people of Klai Yisrael were killed throughout the generations in chutzlart, so maybe there's a concern there. Now, what's interesting here is that...
Wait, is there a difference between the dead Jews and dead Goyim?
Yeah, which is the question I'm about to ask. Lach is... The lach is a story actually in the end of Bava Metzia that Eliyahu Navi once encountered Rav Yasser, I think it was, maybe Rabbi Yeboho. Rabbi Yeboho was once in a base kvaros of a Nachri, a non-Jewish cemetery. And Eliyahu Navi encountered him, and Rabbi Yeboho had a certain shiloh. He asked Eliyahu answered the question to him, and then Rabbi Yeboho says to Eliyahu Navi, aren't you a Kohen? Meaning, and Tosa says he came from Pinchas. So Pinchas was a Kohen, so you're a Kohen Eliyahu Navi. How could you be in the base kvaros? So he says to Rabbi Bo, well, clearly you didn't learn all six Siddurim of Mishnayos, because the Mishnah tells us that the Tumas Akum is not Mitami Be'ohel. It's only Mitami Be'maga, not Be'ohel. So Rabbi Bo says back, I need to make money. I don't have time to learn everything. So Eliyahu Navi took him to Gan Eden. He took out something from Gan Eden. It was very, very expensive, very valuable. He sold it for a lot of money, and he didn't want to take enough from this Gan Eden. He ended up supporting his son-in-laws to learn Torah, whatever it was. But from that Gemara, you see, that's what we paskin, that Tumas of a Goy, it's a mission also, but a Goy that mace is not Metame Be'ol, it's Metame Be'maga, but not Be'ol. It comes up if you go to some of those museums they have in the city of those, what do they call, they used to have the exhibit, it might still exist. King Tut, or the
sarcophagus.
They have these. There's a newer thing.
Oh, the new thing with the live, real organs from people.
Yeah.
Yes.
They have the full body is intact. So you're allowed to go there. It's an ohel unless it's a Jewish body, a kohen.
How do you know that?
So you don't know, right? So I'm saying in theory, if you could.
Well, you could check the milah.
Right. True. So well, not right.
It's a female.
Right. So. Okay, so either way, so the question is, so Mesei Mabul or Akum, Jews didn't exist yet. So who cares if there's Ohel in the...
Right, because of the Mabul, right?
So I don't know what the answer to that is. I'll look in the back really quickly. Actually, I'll wait. Let's finish this.
Wait a second. So yeah. Then the Kohen can go into Maris Machpela?
Kohen can go into Maris Machpela because some say the Tzadikim are not Metame. And certainly the Avos.
But Esav's in there.
Right, his head's in there.
Right.
So
you couldn't go into Maris. Right. Well, you can now because it's before Matan Torah, so they're not Jews.
No, it's really right. It's a good question. No, they had the din of a Jew to a certain extent. It's a good shaila. Certainly, the people of Noach didn't though. It's a good shaila.
It's the same code of Matan Torah. If it's good for one, it's good for both.
It's true. This is a whole it's a larger discussion about the status of the Avos, but I hear. So they talk about this actually in the back here. There's a lot of discussion here about the Tumas Ohel. and the goyim. Okay, interesting. Fine, I'll look it up afterwards. Fine. So, anyways, continuing. So that's the shaila of the Gemara again. Is that was the gzeira adafka on the gush and the dirt, or even on the ohel? So the Gemara says, Toshma maze b'shlishu v'shvi. You're supposed to sprinkle on day 3 and day 7. V'amris, if you say, Mishum avira haza lamali, if it's because of avira, why do you require haza? What's the shaila there? Avira, if the tuma is in the avir, they never have a concept of the avir becoming tame. You can't touch. So with the fact they made this new gzera that if you go to the ovir of a chutzlar, it's metamiyu, it's not metamiyu like a mace, like real mace. And therefore you shouldn't require day 3 and day 7, because it's not tumas mace. So the fact that the Mishnah tells me that you need day 3 and day 7, you need to be sprinkled. When you go to Eretz Amim, you need to come back and have the day 3 and day 7 sprinkled. It must be that the ovir is not metame, because the ovir wouldn't cause a day 3, day 7 requirement. It must be it's the gush, it's the dirt, the mud, that's metame a person. So Ella, again, the Gemara says, Ella lav mishum gusha, must be because of the gusha, and that's why when you return back, you require day 3 and day 7 to be tahar. Whereas it's low, not true. The yolam emelecha really mishum avira, really, because the avir, when a person goes in the airspace,
this,
yeah.
This is just a stupid question. How is it possible to have of just avira?
That's they gave the examples we saw in Tosos. If a person was in a box, or in a wagon, where he didn't touch the dirt.
Okay.
So Gemara said, no, Leo lam emelecha mishum avira. Really, the gzer was even in the airspace of the Eretz Amim. V'chikatani ashar, when the Mishnah tells me that you require day 3 and day 7 for sprinkling, that was for all the other examples of the Mishnah. Wasn't referring to the case of Eretz Amim. Person who enters Eretz Amim will not require day 3 or day 7 because it's the other. It doesn't create tumas meis. It's just a stam tuma. Hachanai mistavra, it's also logical to say this, midikatani, from the fact that the Mishnah says, v'kelim hanogim b'meis, that if a person touches kelim, which are touching the meis at that time, hane kelim b'nei hazayinen, you're going to sprinkle kelim? You're not going to kelim don't get sprinkled. People get sprinkled. So the fact that we list down the Mishnah, even though it doesn't require day 3 and day 7, tells me that there could be other things also on the list. El Shramina Ashar. There are other examples that also, although listed, don't require day 3 and day 7 sprinkling. Okay, so we'll stop here.